Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi First Half 2015 Consolidated Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group 2015 First Half Results Conference Call. As usual, we will present the results highlights first, leaving then room for Q&A session. As a first remark, I would like to highlight the stronger revenues growth that the group recorded over the first six months of 2015. In the semester, top line grew 12.9%, or 7.9% at constant exchange rates. Second quarter growth was even higher, with reported revenues up 16.6%, or 9.6% at constant exchange rates, an acceleration from the trajectory of the first quarter. We are very pleased with the performance for two reasons. On one side, because it's been achieved in a growing industry. Sales of small domestic appliances are continuing to grow on a global basis, which makes us confident about the underlying strength of our industry. On the other side, and even more, because our group is consistently outperforming the industry, gaining market shares across different product categories. At the same time, although the global performance of the SDA industry is very resilient, there are still many markets characterized by very uncertain conditions linked, among other things, to unstable or uncertain political situations. The scenario is made even more complex by the foreign exchange rate fluctuations, which continue to have a material impact on the group's financial results. Both revenues and margins continue to be affected by currencies, although in an opposite way. Revenues benefit from the depreciation of the euro against many currencies, which more than compensates the weakness of Russian ruble and Ukrainian hryvnia, leading to an overall positive FX impact. Margins instead suffer from a negative FX impact, driven by the appreciation against the euro of the two very important sourcing currencies, the US dollar and the Chinese yuan. Despite a challenging environment, the group is continuing to implement its growth strategies, investing in A&P and R&D in order to support the high-end positioning of its brands and products. The first semester witnessed also the launch of some very important new products, like the new De'Longhi Nespresso Altissima Touch, as well as the new ironing systems range of ThorBrown. Moving on now to the group performance. First half revenues reached 791 million euros, up by 12.9%, or 7.9% at constant exchange rates. By geography, Europe grew 9.7%, thanks to a particularly strong contribution of Southwest Europe, up 13.7%, driven by Italy, Germany, Switzerland, and Austria. Contribution from Northeast Europe was positive by 3.0%, making a significant improvement versus the first quarter. Lower revenues in Russia and Ukraine, although positive at constant currency, were more than compensated by higher sales in Poland, U.K., Scandinavia, and other Eastern European countries. Excluding Russia and Ukraine, affected by very negative FX impact, the region's growth would have been positive by about 12%. Revenues of the APA region, Asia, Pacific, Americas, increased strongly, up 23.7%, also helped by currencies. Growth was led by North America, Australia, and New Zealand, China, Brazil, and South Korea. The EMEA area, Middle East, India, and Africa, was up 9.5%, thanks to a favorable FX impact. Persistent political tensions in many countries in the area have constrained the like-for-like revenues performance. By product, the semester has been characterized by a standout performance of espresso coffee makers. Coffee growth was driven by alternative manufactured models, such as fully automatic machines, Nespresso Latissima range, Dolce Gusto Jovia, and traditional pump machines. Positive contribution also from the cooking and food preparation segment, thanks especially to fryers, led by the new multi-cooker, De'Longhi Multi-Fry, as well as toasters, kettles, and blenders. The ironing segment confirmed its positive trend, thanks to contribution of the Braun branded irons. In this segment in particular, over the coming quarters, we expect to see the contribution of the newly launched Braun ironing system range, which had very limited impact in the semester. Favorable weather conditions in several important markets supported the comfort segment performance, with portable air conditioners particularly strong in the period. Finally, Braun continues to deliver double-digit growth, despite the headwinds represented by Russia and the ruble depreciation. Moving on to profitability, a strong organic growth allowed the group to increase operating margins, despite a very unfavorable FX impact. Net industrial margin reached 369 million euros, almost stable as a percentage of revenues, 46.7 versus 46.8% a year earlier. EBITDA reached 95.3 million, equivalent to 12.1% of revenues, up from 87.2 million, or 12.5% of revenues in the first half of 2014. This performance was driven by strong volumes growth as well as by positive price and mix effects. The negative foreign exchange impact was worth minus 12.3 million on the net industrial margin and minus 23 million on EBITDA. To give you an extent of the currency's impact, let me add that at constant exchange rates, net industrial margin would have reached 381.7 million, 50.5% of revenues, a 370 basis points improvement versus 2014, while EBITDA would have increased to 118.4 million, 15.7% of revenues, 320 basis points higher than the previous year. Going back now to the reported figures, EBIT increased from 65.2 million to 70.4 million, decreasing as a percentage of revenues to 8.9% from 9.3% the previous year. The decrease of the margin on revenues was essentially due to FX, as mentioned above, and to higher D&A, increasing by about 3 million from 2014. Linked to an industrial investment made by the group in China and Romania. Net financial charges were about 19 million, slightly down from 19.9 million in 2014, due to lower financial charges and securitization costs, only partially compensated by higher FX components. Net income pertaining to the group reached 37.4 million, up from 33 million in 2014. Let me now comment on some of the key balance sheet items. As of June 30th, 2015, the group was in a net cash position of 104 million, improving both from a 65.1 million net debt position as of June 2014, and from the 89 million net cash position recorded as of end 2014. Net cash generated by the group over the last 12-month period equaled to 169.1 million, despite cash outlays of some 120 million due to the dividends and CapEx. Over the 6 months, after 61.3 million, which were returned to shareholders via dividends, and after 25.6 million CapEx, the net cash flow was positive by 15 million. Excluding non-cash components, the net financial position versus banks and third-party lenders was positive by 121.5 million at the end of June, compared to negative net financial position of 9 million as of the end of June 2014, implying a positive 12-month cash flow of about 130.4 million. Over the last 6 months, net cash flows were again positive by 8.3 million. Strong cash generation was partly the result of a higher organic cash flow, but also of a better working capital management. Net working capital was down 9.3 million over 12 months, despite significantly higher turnover. As a percentage of the last 12-month revenues, working capital decreased from 14.8% in half one 2014 to 13% as of June 2015. The improvement was mainly driven by a reduction of the trade working capital, which decreased from 17% to 15.4% of revenues, thanks to a strict control over payables, receivables, and inventory. With this, my overview of the results is over, and I will now move to comment our outlook and guidance for fiscal year 2015. First of all, I think that the first 6 months of 2015 have been very strong, and in certain areas, they even exceeded our internal expectations. The performance of the espresso coffee makers business was outstanding, proving once more the De'Longhi's unique positioning, leading each single sub-segment, be it fully automatic, capsules, or traditional pump espresso machines. De'Longhi is the number one brand with increasing market shares. Food preparation and cooking appliances continued to perform very well, thanks to both the Kenwood brand and De'Longhi brands, making the overall kitchen segment even more important to the group. At the same time, cash generation was very strong, especially considering that half one is normally a period where the group experiences some cash absorption due to the working capital seasonality and the payment of dividends. To sum up, we confirm our belief that the group will achieve organic revenues growth between 5% and 10% for the full year. With regards to margins, we reiterate our previous indication of expected FX impact at EBITDA level at about minus 30 million and confirm the expected expansion of the EBITDA, although not as a percentage of revenues. With this, my introduction is over. I leave room to the Q&A section.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question comes from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. I will start with a question on the growth at constant currency, if you can give us the trend in the geographical areas at constant currency. Then on an update, second question, an update on the Russian situation, if you see any sign of stabilization, at least for the second half, or if you have to wait for next year. Just the third one, well, also on Western Europe, you were mentioning very strong performance and results were quite strong. Do you think that the outlook is sustainable? So the trend is sustainable for the full year in Western European countries?
Okay, so with regards to the performance of the different geographic areas at constant exchange rates, we have Northeast Europe growing at current exchange rates at 3%, while we have a negative impact in currencies for approximately 9 million euro, which is approximately another 5 points. So constant exchange rates for Northeast Europe would have been around 8%. While about APA, Asia Pacific, the growth, reported growth at current exchange rates is approximately 23.7%, which means 38 millions. Exchange rate impact has been around 22 millions. So real growth would be about 16 million, which is approximately 10% growth. Obviously, MEIA, we reported growth at 9.5%, which is a 7 million euro growth. Exchange rate impact was positive for 14 million, so it means that we would have reported at constant exchange rate a decline of approximately 9% or 7 million euro. With regard to Europe, obviously, there is no material exchange rate impact. As a matter of fact, only Switzerland has a different currency, but growth, reported growth, is very close to constant exchange rate growth. Moving to the second question about Russia. Russia, we think, is stabilizing. We still have some quite recent exchange rate negative impact, but the situation now is stabilizing. I think that traffic in the stores is stronger today than it was months ago, so we expect the volumes to possibly pick up over the next months versus the previous very negative trend. I don't want to mean that we will show growth on a year-on-year basis, but we see an improvement in the marketplace. We think that it's not impossible that we will be called for another price increase given the more recent further deterioration of the ruble in Russia. But we are pleased by the Longhi Group performance. We are gaining market shares, and we are pleased with the volumes in the difficult market. We see better trading conditions, maybe still negative, slightly negative currencies, which will be probably offset by further price increase. The third question was about Western Europe. Frankly, considering that Western Europe is an old economy, and consider the fact that Europe should be in a crisis, we should be a bit more conservative. But I have to say that we have seen very strong numbers coming from every single market where we compete, a very strong trend in coffee makers. So, frankly, we acknowledge the difficult market circumstances, but also, I don't see reasons for being negative. The group is growing, coffee is doing very well, So I'm still positive about Western Europe. Can we continue to grow at such a pace over the next 6 months? Maybe not. This is a very strong growth. But I'm positive about the group being able to deliver further growth also in Western Europe. I have no more to add, and I leave again, pass on the word to the Q&A session.
The next question is from Filippo Prini of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. I've got two questions, basically. The first one pertains to price increase. If I'm not wrong, during the last conference call, you announced that you were implementing price increase in Western Europe across June, July. I would like to know if it happened and if there is a first market reaction. The second point is referred to your hedging policy for forex for 2016. Could you give us an update, basically the coverage of US dollar, and if you think that you are going to change your hedging policy going forward, possibly considering your future expansion of revenues in North America thanks to Brown in 2016. Thank you.
Price increase, yes, we passed on price increases, so I think that the group is now in it's a good position. We have, let's say, reached the target prices in Western Europe. So for the year, consider also the hedging we have in place. No more price increases are needed, maybe with the exception of Russia and some, let's say, very weak economy, let's say, weak currencies. We think that for Europe, we have already correctly priced the products, and we don't need further price increase. And the price increase have been accepted, and I'm confident that we will have no material impact on our ability to compete in the market. With regard to the Forex update, we have hedged. I remind you that in 2015 we are hedged at about 2015 we are hedged at about 28.5 to the dollar, and for 2016 we have already hedged approximately 50% of our dollar exposure. The total dollar exposure is about 400 million euro, so it means that we have already hedged about 200 million USD at 1.12%. Sorry, 1.12 dollars.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Well, the first question is on Russia and Ukraine. If you can give us an idea of the volume trend in the first half on those two markets, just to better understand the reaction to the strong price increase of the last few quarters. Then the second one is on the non-industrial labor cost. Looking at the P&L lines, it seems that the most of the improvement was coming in the second quarter. I was wondering what is the reason explaining this improvement this item. Then on the coffee machine segment, which seems that in the last two or three quarters regained the usual historical strong growth path. And the 20% increase in the first half is basically driven by volume and price mix, or is also explained partially by the positive effects impact. And finally, an update on your industrial policy, about the platform, industrial platform policy, if you have already decided or not to relocate part of the production in Romania, or we are still studying how to react to the US dollar appreciation? Thank you.
Okay, with regard to Russia, we have witnessed a decline in small domestic appliances, approximately at a minus 30% year on year for the first, say, quarter or the first, say, four months of 2016. This trend may vary from segment to segment. We see espresso definitely as more resilient, while we see maybe other segments, more, let's say, mature segments, probably with even a stronger decline. Maybe a floor care and ironing as other examples. We see now an improvement in the trading conditions, so we expect this minus 30 to further reduce. We think that consumers were reluctant to buy. They were hoping in a rebound of the ruble. They were waiting for that, and now I think they have understood that the new exchange rate, euro, ruble, or dollar ruble exchange rate is now probably more stable. Actually, there is further risk of devaluation of the ruble. So I think they are now going back to stores and they are buying again. So we expect that maybe in a weak economy to see some pickup in sales and a better trend. Obviously, I cannot add more. It's a very unstable market, but I see and positive about improvements coming from Russia.
So this minus 30% is referred to the market as a whole and not the De'Longhi performance. Is
it
correct?
No, absolutely. As we told, the De'Longhi performance has been better than the market. We have outperformed the market. Particularly, I would say coffee makers have proved to be more resilient.
Okay.
With regards to, if I can move to the second question, if there is enough for you, the second question was about non-industrial costs and the comparison, the dynamic, say in the second quarter versus the first quarter. The second quarter. Total non-industrial costs in the second quarter were up from 125 million non-industrial labor cost. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, only that. Went up from 38.4 million to 40.9 million, so it was up approximately 2.5 million, which is 6.6%. In the first half 2015 versus the first half 2014, the cost went up from 75 to 80.9. Which is a 5.5 million euro increase, which is 7.3%. So I would say there is not a material difference between the two. So I don't have the same perception of the different trend between the two quarters. It's slightly different, but not really material.
Yeah, I was referring as a percentage of revenues. Maybe I didn't explain myself correctly.
Yeah, no. You were talking about what, sorry?
As a percentage of revenues.
As a percentage of revenues. As a percentage of revenues. Frankly, we should maybe we should calculate it and maybe get back to you in another moment,
yep.
If you don't mind.
Yeah, of course.
The third question was about coffee makers.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I make no secret that I am always very bullish about coffee machines. I think that there is plenty of old drip coffee machines and mochas that we can replace with the better coffee makers. I expect this trend to continue over the years. We might see it to maybe good quarters, maybe less good quarters, maybe good years and maybe less good years. But in the end, we think that we are in front of a very strong secular trend. So I'm not surprised by this performance. Maybe this is a little bit exceeding the original plans and our expectations for the quarter or for the first half. But in the end, we think that there is a tremendous opportunity to capture out there and to convert poor quality coffee drinkers and transform in good quality De'Longhi coffee machine owners. So I think that we will continue to see good growth coming from this segment over the next years. The proof is also Germany, which I remember last year we were some questions during the call in the first half about the performance of De'Longhi and the reduced growth rate in coming from Germany. I think that we're back to growth and we're really still bullish about coffee machines.
So you think that the plus 20% growth rate achieved in the first semester might be achieved also in the coming quarters?
No, I said that. I'm bullish about coffee makers. I think that we have a long-term growth trend ahead of us. We can assist to good quarters, extremely good quarters. This is probably an extremely good quarters. 20% is definitely a great growth rate. But we can have also slightly say worse quarters. But still, we believe that the trend for growth in the long run is solid. And we consider coffee makers the strongest growth opportunity for the growth.
Okay.
So it can be 2% growth, can be a 20% growth in the quarters, but overall we think that we can have a very strong average growth performance for coffee.
Okay.
The third question is about the industrial platform.
Yes.
The changes. Obviously, we are monitoring the exchange rates, and we are considering where to produce the next product generations. And I think that the more the dollar to the euro will be trading around parity, the more opportunities that the new generation of products are to be designed and manufactured for our European facilities. So all in all, we think that we will not put in place extraordinary actions over the next 12 months to relocate the products that are already produced in Asia and to move them to Europe. This will also have eventually an impact on our ability to deliver innovation, because if we invest in, our technical team's time in redesigning the product to be moved from Asia to Europe, this will probably have a negative impact in our ability to innovate and launch new products. So we don't think that we will relocate existing products, but we will reconsider according to exchange rates where the new products will be produced. I think that in this under this perspective, I think De'Longhi is in a very good condition, because we have an outstanding state-of-the-art faculty both in China and in Europe. And so for us, it would be equivalent to design products for Europe or for Asia. So we are in a good position to capture and maximize and optimize our industrial decisions and improve and have always a very cost-effective cost of goods. Obviously, this it also will depend where the dollar will be over the next months and years.
Understood. Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Anna Patrice of Berenberg. Please go ahead. Ms. Patrice, your line is open.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Yes, hello. Hi, thank you. Thank you for your questions and for you for the answer so far. Just a couple of follow-up questions. Regarding the production setup, you said that you don't want to relocate production from Asia to Europe, but my understanding was that production in Romania, the production of hotels in Romania are not fully utilized yet. So my understanding was that you plan to increase the utilization rate of Romanian fund. Is that still the case or not? The second question is, you said that the first half year sales development was better than your own expectations. So maybe if you can give a bit more details, what categories were better than you expected. The third question is about Braun. Where do you see the most growth coming from? Was it in the local markets, like in the existing markets, or was it because of the expansion in new markets, like in France and the UK? Was it because of the newly launched product portfolio? And what is, again, expectations going forward? And then maybe the last question, you had very strong product pipeline in the second half of last year and the first half of this year. What should we expect in the second half of this year? Is there also very strong pipeline, or it's more kind of, you know, for the roll out of the products that you already launched this year? Thank you.
So, thank you, Anna, for the question. Well, the first question was about Romania. The production, we have more reproduction capability available in our Romanian plant. Obviously, we are, I would remind you that Romania is making espresso machines and making fully automatic espresso machine, where we are experiencing a very strong growth. So part of the production capacity will be absorbed by growth. The second is we are producing more and more brown products in Romania. So we started making also food preparation besides coffee makers. So this is also, we'll be utilizing production capacity in the plant. Eventually, if as I said, the exchange rate to the dollar will continue to go against the euro, or making Europe more competitive, eventually we will consider new generation in the future to be make a new generation of product made in China products made in our Romanian facility. We think that we're planning now to expand further the production capacity, because we think that we will require soon more space and more infrastructures for in our facility in Romania. So we will be absorbing progressively over the next months next year, maybe in the next, 24 months, we will probably go to fully utilize the Romania plant, and we will put in place some further development plans of the plant itself. Second question was about first half better than expected. But indeed, it's better than expected. We think that as a group, we should grow between 5 and 10%. We have seen that we have grown very close to 10% in organic, and delivered growth was 16%, which is very strong. And we have delivered this despite strong price increases in certain markets like Russia and Ukraine. Consider also the crisis in Russia and Ukraine. Consider also the European economic situation with Greece, but also very weak Italy, and a difficult maybe southern European market. I think we have performed very, very well. So I'm just saying that we are probably on the top of our long-term guidance, and which, by the way, sometimes we give guidance which is not organic, is a guidance of growth between 5 and 10%. This year will be organic growth at 10%, which will make an even stronger delivered growth for the group. So I think that also the second half will be positive for the group. We expect to deliver further growth to enable the group to deliver a growth, organic growth, for the full year between 5 and 10%. I have not much to add to this. If this is enough for you, I move then to the third question, which is on Brown performance. Let me... the growth for Brown in the first half has been above average for the group. So Brown is growing faster than total group. The total group again was growing at like for like slightly below 10%. Brown brand is growing far above that. So is organic growth for Brown is around 15%. So we are very pleased with the performance. The growth is coming from many markets. Obviously, such a strong growth is not just the outcome of a success in a few local markets, but is coming from many markets. Just to highlight you the best performance, I would say that for sure and amongst Europe I would highlight the performance in Germany, but also Spain, very good performance also in Austria, Switzerland also performed very well. Also, Greece was positive despite the market condition due to the fact that we are relaunching the brand. So I would say that it was a consistent performance across Western Europe, and also in Eastern Europe with some very strong positives from markets like Hungary, or we were positive also in Poland, while Russian is showing a decline, but just purely attributable to negative exchange rate and the ruble devaluation. Middle East was also stronger. Of course, was helped by positive exchange rate, but still was positive. And also, we have some good performance in Asia, where we have a positive Korea as a new market, and also Southern and Southern East Asia with few markets which are growing. In terms of products, we think that we perform well across the three main sub-segments in which we divide the sales, like in coffee makers, we're positive. For Brown, also cooking was Brown, and also very positive ironing. I would say probably ironing is the best performer amongst the different product lines. Fourth question is about expectations for the pipeline of products for the second half. As usual, the group is introducing new product for the second half. I would like to highlight an innovation in fully automatic coffee machines, which will be introduced at IFA in the high end of the range of coffee makers. We think that for Brown, the real impact of having systems will be visible in the second half. So, although it's been launched already in April, we have the impact of the launch of the new Brown harness in the second half. With regard to Kenwood, we have just started the introduction of a multi-cooker, and also we have introduced last year two new kitchen machines. One is Sense, and one is Multi-One, whose effects will be more visible also in the second half of 2015.
The next question is from Nicola Pessina of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I just have a couple of questions. So first of all, I'm wondering if you could give us a quick comment on the organic performance in the UK. Looking at your presentation, it seems like most of the double-digit performance is coming from the positive impact of Forex. Therefore, I'm wondering how the market is performing in local currencies. And secondly, if you could give us a comment on the performance of the kitchen machines. If I remember well, they reported negative growth in the first quarter of the year. Therefore, I'm wondering how they perform in the second quarter. Thanks a lot.
Okay, so UK was reported sales grew at 9.6%. Which equals 4.6 million euros growth, but the exchange rate impact was positive for 5.5 million euros. So, there is a slight decline of probably between 1 and 2%. Yeah, well, I think also the second question is about coffee makers. Kitchen machines. Kitchen machines also were negative for the group, with a decline of approximately 4.5 million euros, which is a 4% decline year on year. The decline for kitchen machines is I think attributable to very, say, higher than average inventories at trade after Christmas, because we have noticed that in some markets there is a slight decline, but all in all we are holding on or maintaining our market shares. In some cases, we see our sell-out stronger than our sell-in, which is probably a sign of a normalization. A progressive normalization of the stocks at trade level. So this is making us more confident about the remainder of the year.
Great. The minus 4% is for the first half, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
The next question is a follow-up from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
I have a question on the net working capital trend. It was particularly strong, and I wonder if you have implemented any specific procedure in order to reduce the working capital, and in how much of this trend is sustainable over the year. And then second question is, well, on the bridge, if you can provide a bridge typically on the industrial margin from volumes, price mix, and Forex. Well, Forex you already gave us an indication. And last question is on the M&A. Could you give us a sense if you have done, say, some progresses on your scouting for M&A, if you have any update, any positive feeling on this trend?
Okay, so first question about net working capital. We think we had a very strong performance in working capital. despite also strong growth, credits, say, receivables went down, were stable in line with the receivable at the end of June 2014 at around 234 million, despite the strong growth. This is mainly due to improvement in terms in Germany and Italy, which are main markets. Inventories went slightly up, but at constant exchange rates, the growth would have been really very minimal, at just 1.9% growth at constant exchange rates. So it means that we were helped here by good sales, which helped also in air conditioning, where we had a very low inventory level of air conditioning at the end of June. Also, in terms of payables, we've been able to maintain payment conditions to suppliers in line with last year. So, I've been able to finance our working capital supported by suppliers. As a result, we have reduced the incidence of working capital on sales down from 17% to 15% as operative working capital, operational working capital. We think that we'll continue to work to improve our working capital, but we think that we are now really we have really performed very well in this first half. So we're getting to good target performances of working capital as a percentage of sales. Went down in 12 months from 14.8% 1 year earlier to 13% at the end of June 2015.
And just a clarification: when you say that in Italy and Germany you had better terms, so do you mean that you have improved the days, or it is a country mix? So you are saying that growing, so Italy and Germany.
Days, we have reduced. We are being paid quicker.
Okay, so because you were able to negotiate better terms.
Yes, maybe also due to customer mix in some cases, mm-hmm. Can be also due to being more, focused in being paid on time by customers.
Okay.
The third question is about the bridge in industrial margin.
Yeah, you typically provide the bridge at industrial margin level, if I'm not wrong.
I don't have available as of now an industrial margin bridge. I can give you maybe an EBITDA bridge level of what's happening. So half 2014 EBITDA was 87 million euros. We had a positive about 20 million euro of improvement due to volumes, high volumes. We had approximately 21 million prices, about 9 million improvement due to cost reduction, lower costs, exchange rate impact 23, negative for 23 million, other costs for about 19. As a result, negative. And as a result, EBITDA grew from 87 to 95.
Okay, thanks.
M&A, let's say, we continue to generate cash, very strong cash generation for the first half. This is potentially enabling us to make a bigger acquisition or to go to M&A. We are scouting the market, but we have nothing to update you with regards to possible transactions in the near future.
Is the pipeline just to have a feel, is the pipeline of potential target, let's say, more full of opportunity now, or is more or less the same? So,
this is not an easy question to answer. I think that in reality, we are very, very selective.
Mm-hmm.
We will not enter in M&A for the sake of making M&A.
But okay.
Being very selective with Brown, it took years before mm-hmm. we have done M&A. Now we are probably more proactive than we were in the past. It's one of our priorities, but we are still very selective.
Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of pipeline. It's a matter of convincing the seller.
We are studying, we're working, we're talking to companies, we are investigating, we're working, but for the moment, I don't see anything happening in the near term. Obviously, we are seeking for opportunities, but I would remind you that we will be selective. We want strong brands. We are not interested in local brands. We are not looking into very regional acquisitions. We like more global brands or brands that, if are regional, can turn into global brands in the long run. We like also quality products. We like to make a position rather in the high end than the low end. And obviously, we want acquisitions that are synergistic in a sense that are making us a stronger leader in the segments where we operate or opening the door to segments that we potentially like to add.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfà of Banca Aletti. Please go ahead.
To everybody, my question is again on the net cash position. I'm sorry, maybe it's just a detail, but looking at the last year's seasonality, I would have expected a kind of stable net cash while it was down. Is it possible for you to elaborate on that?
Sorry, net last year was, you said last year was down and you were...
Yeah, let's say if I look at last year trends, your net debt position in, let's say, first half 2014 versus the first quarter was more or less about the same, it was 10 million more. So I would have expected that the cash would have been something around the first quarter, but it was definitely lower than my expectation. Maybe it's just a detail, I don't know if you can...
Do you think that you would have expected more cash? Or
no, yes, I would have expected some 30 million euro more cash, yes. But I mean, again, maybe it's a detail.
Okay, no, we think that actually the strong, we think we had a very strong cash generation for the first half. Usually the first half is the weakest, and consider also that we pay probably 60 million euro in dividends in the first half. And according to what I see, last year we had a softer cash generation in the first half. Let me see here.
It's okay. We will get into details with Marco in due course, maybe.
Last year we had some cash absorption in the first 6 months. And if you recall, then we had a phenomenal cash generation in the second half.
Yeah.
Say first half was weak absorption, in the second half very strong. This year I think we are ahead of plans. We had a better cash generation in the first half. So we're ahead of let's say last year in terms of cash generation.
It's okay. Thank you very much.
Come back with further details on that.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. De'Longhi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
As there are no more questions, I thank you for attending the De'Longhi first half 2015 conference call. Bye-bye.